tired of being sick and tired of waiting for the right to breathe, to live free, to inspire. It don't matter what you own. You own your right to be. A human soul is not defined by its property. The words of Fannie Lou Hamer, civil rights activist from the 60s. And I am delighted to help bring civil rights and human rights and women's rights back and active in Portland. Thank you very much.
Well, Paul,
yeah,
Paul.
You asked the question.
Go right ahead. And be sure you guys come to see shows, okay? How many of you actually came to see Queen of the Forest? How many of you have ever lived with your parents? They're still awake. Yes, Commissioner?
Actually, it was just a comment to Paul. Life is all about timing.
Uh-huh.
And unfortunately, you follow that. How are you going to top that?
Could you do an interpretive dance number for us?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, may I introduce Paul.
You're on, Paul.
We're waiting.
Do an interpretive dance. So.
It's not part of my 2 minutes. So.
We'll give you two more.
Paul Schlesinger, chair of Portland Planning Commission, and I'm not going to dance, nor am I going to get on the table and do anything interpretive in front of you. I did have prepared remarks, and I'm going to go off script try not to take the minute and 39 seconds still afforded me. What you have in front of you, and hopefully what you will vote unanimously tonight, is a Vision PDX plan. What I and my fellow commissioners and the bureau that supports us, bureaus, plural, is a Portland plan. We will go from the Olmsted plan to Focus Portland to what you have in front of us with vision, to dealing with a comprehensive plan being named the Portland plan, of moving that forward from visioning, from thoughts and dreams of this community, and putting it on paper, of putting the proverbial foot to the metal, and making sure and ensuring that what you have in front of us, what has happened in the past, will be implemented. It would be a shame that what has gone on for the past 2 years not be implemented and voted on tonight and moving forward. Briefly, with my 19, 18, 17 seconds still left, the eve of Halloween on October 30th, the Planning Commission will dress up in costume and will spend a lot of time looking at this and moving it forward. On November 13th, in unison with you all, we will come together and work on this forward. The question that Sam put forward Sheila, thank you, and Marvin, of how this gets implemented. It gets implemented by yourselves, by the Planning Commission, by making sure that the people that have spent 2 years working on this, that it does get implemented and that it does come back to you for a further vote as a Portland plan. And to bring it to a close for my comments, thank you very much for ensuring that our viewership will go through the roof and that people will be viewing and watching the commission, Portland Planning Commission, ensure that what we put forward does vision and does plan and does move forward. Thank you for entrusting us with that.
Thank you.
Nicole Sharon, Richard Ross and Casey Jama.
I'm Nicole Sharon. I'm a member of the Vision PDX team. I'm going to keep it short because I've been here all day, too. But I did want to say that as here in Portland, what I do is I engage the disability community for the city. And so as part of the Vision PDX process, that was part of what I did. And an interesting thing happened when we got everyone together and had them engage. We had them talk about some of the barriers that they have to engagement. And we got so caught up in writing down all those barriers, a lot of people didn't fill out their surveys. And a couple months went by, and I started getting the data in, and Liesl came down to me, and she was like, wow, the disability stuff really came up a lot in the surveys and in the material. And that really stunned me, because I knew we had engaged the disability community, but we really didn't get as many surveys from them to really make an impact on what I thought would come out of the data. But it turns out that so many other people had that unified vision of that accessible city, that it didn't have to just come from that voice. It came from all of it. And so I know there's been a lot of challenge to whether or not we engaged enough or what the use is of the material that from the engagement. But I just wanted to say that I know that the disability voice was in that document, and it came not just from that community, but from the whole Portland community.
Thank you. Mayor Park. Mayor Potter and commissioners, Richard Ross, a Portland resident since the summer of love, 1967. Teddy Roosevelt, our president, in 1907, who rides down our park blocks, once said, "This country will not be a permanently good place for any of us to live unless we make it a reasonably good place for all of us to live in." Vision PDX shows how Portland can become a truly great place for all of us to live. Visions are also about all the things we've never done as much as the things we want to become. Vision PDX website features a compelling video called The Road Not Taken about the defeat of the Mount Hood Freeway. This video, which I assisted, describes a nightmare that almost happened. A mega road plowing through East Portland. Trading in the Mount Hood Freeway for light rail and more was a defining moment for 20th century Portland. This happened because progressive citizens and leaders at all levels teamed up to create a new, more inclusive transportation vision and system. This new vision transformed Portland, then the region, and I think eventually the state of Oregon. I hope the council and our citizens will show the same foresight and leadership to make Vision PDX a defining moment for 21st century Portland. It all depends on how well we build the road ahead for Vision PDX. And starting with, of course, the mayor's five initiatives and the new Portland plan and a lot of the other things we've heard tonight. Thank you very much.
Good evening, Mayor Tom Butler and the commissioners. First of all, I would like to thank you for having us here tonight and also allowing us to comment on the Vision PDX document. I would like to also take an opportunity to thank the staff of the Vision PDX who show us kind of a glimpse of what the future might look like, the way they are engaged with us through this process. It was a fair and collective process, the way they engaged with us. Having said that, my name is Casey Chama. I'm the executive director of the Center for Intercultural Organizing. Our organization, when we get the community engagement grant, we were a very young organization, very small, all volunteer organization based, no staff. through the process of the Fusion PTX, when we get the community grant, we had about $21,000 budget. Throughout that process, we send our frontiers and key leaders to the diverse immigrant refugee community. We were able to collect surveys, connected focus groups, have a community forums. Through that process, then we were able to produce a document that allow us to create the vision and the strategy of our organization, as well as contributed the Vision PTX. From that process, we were able to highlight what are the some of common themes that the immigrant refugee community issues are. We were able then to use that process to get right now Center for Intercultural Organizing. We are have a six staff, and also two interns. And our budget right now is about $140,000. And absolutely, that's because of the engagement that we did through the Fission PTX. And that, for us, allows us the Fission. It's working. And for the last few seconds left for me, I don't know if anybody read this loudly, but I'm going to read the Fission PTX loudly. Shaped by the Willamette and Columbia Rivers, Portland connects people and nature to create an international model of equity and sustainability. We are a city of communities. Our distinct neighborhoods and vibrant downtown are safe, energizing, civic, and cultural spaces. Our diverse population is innovative. Businesses and forward-thinking leaders work together to ensure livability for all. And I repeat, livability for all. And for this vision, for me, when I read it, I can see myself in it and my community. And I thank you and I encourage you to pass this resolution to create vision into action and adopt the vision. Thank you.
Next are Lily Mandel, Irwin Mandel, and Bonnie McKnight. They will be followed by Dick Cohen, Janie Cotter, and Amanda Fritz.
Hi. Okay. I'm waiting for you. Go right ahead. Hi, Lily Mandel. And now for something completely different. Every drama needs some villains, somebody to hiss, somebody to perhaps look at it from a different point of view. So I don't want to disappoint anyone, but here goes. I'm sorry. I will have to maybe put some logic into this. In the vision section describing Portland in 2030, a vision for the future and the five elements, there is one word that describes them all. More. More of what we have now and has attracted us and many more people to Portland. There is one on page 15. There's a visualizing built Portland, and it's number two. It says, Portland provides incentives to protect historically viable architecture while encouraging creative design for new structures. This has already been done, and here it is. This is going to be for the future. I'm sorry to perhaps put a little rain on your parade, but this doesn't make sense to me. And there are some, time is really of the essence. I was going to give you some more examples of things that puzzle me and do not there and already have been done. So I'm going to skip them. In none of them do I see where is the creative vision. And, I hate to be practical, and I don't have any goodies to bribe you with. So I will just end it and ask for another $1 million to implement this nearsighted vision after having already spent $1.2 million is real chutzpah. And there is nothing new to incorporate into the Portland plan. It is sad that this is a result after spending a great deal of time and money. But now time to boo, but let's not compound our mistake. This, you're all going to vote for this, but I feel one has to deal with reality. And I say, do not accept the Vision PDX report and recommendations. There is no vision here, really, truly no vision. There are things that are repeated or here already and really are not creative. So now that we have, I've played my role as a villainess. Thank you. No hissing. Hey.
At least one truly creative. We usually sing the same tune with different words, and we haven't changed. At least one truly creative concept has arisen as a result of this visioning process. The city has promised to examine creating new guidelines to allow city employees to volunteer in the community for up to 4 hours of paid leave per month. Now, my dictionary defines a volunteer as a person who works for an organization without being paid. I must congratulate the city for coining a truly brilliant oxymoron, a paid volunteer. Fascinating. These so-called volunteers will be required, and this is out of the document, to focus on youth-oriented programs. No choice in what they choose to be paid volunteers for. Since members of the police... Bye.
Bye. Don't count that.
Since members of the police and fire bureaus and BOEC, the Bureau of Emergency Communication, are also city employees, we will be able to look forward either to a reduction in our emergency services or the need to increase staffing to fulfill this paid volunteer leave. One hour per month, I believe, per employee. Will city employees have the option of either choosing some other cause or not taking part in the program at all? One can imagine the pressures that will be exerted to conform to the party line in any bureau. This program is a perfect example of do-goodism that hasn't the vision to think about the law of unintended consequences. The resolution should not be accepted. By the way, it really is not very difficult to think creatively and come up with ideas about Portland in 2030 that do not simply call for more of the same. Thank you. Any questions?
Good evening.
Oh, guts.
Mayor Potter, members of the council, my name is Bonnie McKnight, and I live in East Portland. I'm one of those citizens who felt ambivalent about the visioning effort for this city. One of the reasons for that was a projection into a future from our present without a clear bridge between the two. Tonight's resolution begins to define a portion of that bridge, and of course, a portion that has been a focus for my activism for far too many years. East Portland has been part of the city for almost 25 years. As chair of the committee which sought to form a separate city from this area of 140,000 people, we knew that being folded into an existing city meant our integration into urban service levels, finding political support to deal with our problems, and just simple recognition of how different we were from most other areas of the city was likely to mean we paid the same taxes and got less in return. Most of us still feel that is true today, but we used the neighborhood associations in East Portland, Southeast Uplift, and other parts of the city to build support for a deeper look at who we were and how we can move from today to tomorrow and then into the longer-range city vision. The East Portland Plan can be that bridge, and many of us will continue to help it address the uniqueness of our area in a positive and effective way. I hope you'll support the resolution before you because it specifically mentions the East Portland Plan and asks for both a short-term and a long-term commitment to its role. We in the Neighborhood Association system will be part and I hope a strong part, of the Portland Plan and its role in informing the comprehensive plan update for the city. All of the things you do at the council level eventually succeed or fail at the neighborhood level. We are made up of every person living in the city. As the goals of visioning are reconnected to planning, we can only strengthen our political process and build a better understanding of how good city policies for both our political leaders and a better understanding of good city policies for both our political leaders and our residents. I hope you'll support this beginning step in East Portland by accepting the resolution before you. Thank you.
And we have five more. Dick and Janie Cohen, if I have that last name correct, and Amanda Fritz, and they'll be followed by Bina Patel and Mark Rosenbaum. So, are Dick and Janie here?
Okay. Please call the next two.
Then Bina Patel, thank you, and Mark Rosenbaum.
Good evening, I'm Amanda Fritz speaking for myself. This has been an exemplary public process to this point, and it's certainly great to see so many different and new participants here tonight. Portland's democracy is both participatory and representative, and you represent the 535,000 Portlanders who didn't participate in this process, as well as the 15,000 of us who did. My question to you is, does this document matter? If it matters, then it matters that it was only released 2 days ago and that there are things in it which are clearly a mistake. If it doesn't matter, then you just accept it, put it on a shelf, and move on. But does it matter? The error that I see in it is in that learning Portland, there is no recognition that public schools are a core Portland value, that we in Portland love, cherish, and want to see our public schools prosper. The vision language says that public and private schools are co-equal. More than 80% of Portland families show that we love our public schools by sending our children there. And many of us are extremely satisfied with what we see in our public schools and want to see excellent public schools in every neighborhood of the city. Multnomah County residents voted to fund the schools when nowhere else in the state did. So we know from both our actions and our pocketbooks that Portlanders love public schools, but the vision doesn't say that. I'm here to request an amendment, which you as elected officials responding to citizens and in public hearing have the power to do. And that amendment is to the second goal of the vision for learning, and I suggest that it would be better if it said, quality public education is readily available to every pre-K through 20 student, and Portlanders cherish our five public school districts as the finest in the country. Excellent public schools are found in every Portland neighborhood. The public and private sectors provide integrated pre-K to 20th educational services that richly satisfy the intellectual, cultural, environmental, and economic needs of the region, the city, and its people. Don't you agree that that is a better statement and that that better exemplifies the values of Portlanders regarding our public schools? And would you please amend the document to say that? Does it matter at all whether it says that or not?
Good evening. My name is Bina Patel. I'm here as a community member. I served on the Vision Committee from the first day that we met at ERCO, and I was a member of the Executive Committee. I wanted to shed some light on kind of how we got to this point, but first start with thanks. First, for the staff and volunteers. We didn't always agree. We were locked in small rooms in various places around the city for hours on end, contemplating how to put together 15,000 different ways people said what they want for their future, for their kids, for their neighborhoods, and for the Pacific Northwest, frankly, where they saw Portland fit. If you were to try to do that with just the people in this room, you can imagine the kinds of pressures you would have to try to make sure that everyone felt they were vested in what the final outcome was in some way. That being said, I want to thank the community members and the commissioners for the challenges and constructive criticism you put forward. It made the work of the Vision Committee members that more important. We were challenged to be creative, inclusive, and diverse in how we came up with ideas to present to the commission and to the community. So I personally thank you for the challenges you gave us and the feedback you provided. First, I want to say is that while we all agree and we come to some common ground on values, in this document and what we held true to were that values do not equal strategies. We value equity and access and sustainability for our communities, but we have to recognize that we don't all agree on the best way to get there. And those are two very different things. We cannot isolate individuals who have different ideas and different priorities about how to live in a sustainable Portland and isolate them and not accept the fact that, in fact, they want to be sustainable and they want to see diversity and inclusion. What was important to the Vision Committee is that this process was not subject to any form of a singular political agenda or strategy, and nor should it ever, whether it sits on a shelf or you use it every day. This is not a tool for anyone's political agenda. What it does, and at its heart, it offers a space for different people to come forward and say, this is my idea. Commissioner Adams, your question was great and really got me thinking, what do we do when we don't agree? And we have hashed this out over and over. What I do and what I hope you all do when we don't agree and when we can't find answers is I go to page 25, and it says on there that we facilitate the inclusion of all Portlanders in our democratic processes. Do we all have to agree? No. Do we all get a place at the table to be here? Most certainly. And at the end of the day, the beauty of this document is we may not agree and we may not have the answers, but at least we have vision. Thank you.
Mayor Potters and Commissioners, I'm Mark Rosenbaum, Chairman of the Portland Development Commission. Happy to join you this evening, and I guess happier yet for those behind me who understand I'm the last speaker. I'm here to wholeheartedly endorse the document and urge your positive support, but more to the point, to speak to how the Development Commission will end up using a document such as this and its work. What's impressive about the sections as it relates to built Portland and economic Portland and the sections as it relates to sustainability isn't so much that it talks about buildings, but what's supposed to go on in those buildings and how we are to have our built Portland relate to parks and streets and transportation systems. What it says about economic Portland is not so much about having jobs as the kind of jobs and the quality of jobs we want to have in Portland, and how we make them work and interact with the environment. And in terms of sustainability, which this council has so aggressively identified as something that Portland holds dear, that just becomes a watchword for which the Development Commission tackles most of its projects going forward. I would say that PDC spent today from 7 a.m. till 5 in the afternoon in a strategic planning session outlining funding priorities for the next 2 years, which we look forward to reviewing with City Council and discussing with you, hopefully in two sessions over the next 3 months. All of the discussions we had today mirrored the kinds of values and implementation strategies that are suggested in this document. So thank you for this work, and most importantly, the outreach to the community that makes a document like this so alive and something that all of us who work as community volunteers can use as a guiding light as we decide to put real money and projects behind the kind of values that this represents.
Thank you. Further questions from the commissioners?
So, clarifying questions. So are we adopting... are we adopting every word in this, or what is the status of our, therefore, be it resolved resolution part of this?
It's to adopt the vision plan as provided by the committee with the additional work that will be done beginning on November 13th at a work session. Mm-hmm. And that we have the our website set up to take additional comments. I appreciate some of the comments that were made tonight in terms of things that we can add on the 13th, and we can do that at that time.
Okay.
So, Mary, let me just make sure I understand. If I'm very sympathetic to Amanda's argument on that language. And the flip side, I think Amanda's argument probably ought to, in kind of even assuming wherever Amanda went, your argument, people ought to have some chance who wrote this vision to respond to your amendment before I just voted in, having just heard it. So it would it be appropriate on the 13th to make those types of amendments if we had the votes on the council to do so?
Yes.
Okay.
I would prefer to accept the document, but then I know that there are going to be some wordsmithing, and also I thought that Amanda's idea was very good, so we can include that in on that.
Well, I mean, I don't think I've ever been in a hearing where there's been this much substance and there's been one proposal to amend it, so it's that's very impressive. Yeah.
Further questions? Please call the vote.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank you, Mayor, for your leadership and perseverance in bringing us to this point today where we can begin our work as a city council to follow up on the great work that's been done by so many different people and groups. I don't know that there has ever been as inclusive a effort or process, at least in my 17, 18 years in this city, and I want to thank you for that and congratulate you on that. I look forward to digging into this on the 13th, and I like the way that it's been presented, the ability to sort of look amongst the not only how the values have been prioritized, but then the ideas under the goals for strengthening those values, I think will be very useful, and I look forward to using it as a key input into the Portland plan and into the future work that is underway in the transportation and environmental areas and arts and culture efforts. I have a number of important planning projects underway. They're also, in terms of transportation, will be coming forward in January to the City Council, options for implementing a lot of the accessibility and safety goals and values contained in this. So work is underway. Thanks to the co-chairs of this effort and your teams, yes, and this is hard work, and congratulate you. Aye.
Leonard.
My inclination as a person is always been very much to try my best to actually improve either my lot in life or my children's lot in life. And since I've been in various elected positions, the people I represent, their lots in life. And that is something that each of us here in our own way would say to any group. I mean, we come here with our own values, we come here with our own experiences, and we come here with our own, I guess, biological makeup that makes us view the world in the way we do. For me, I've heard some things here tonight that while I may have said them differently, resonated with me. I would say that, you know, when the issue of allowing employees at the Bureau of Emergency Communications or the Water Bureau or the Bureau of Development Services to have 4 hours off to volunteer, I would probably be inclined to say no. You volunteer, part of volunteering is investing yourself and your time. So there's some of the criticisms that I understand and some that I may agree with. On the other hand, I would tell you that one of the things that I continue to, I think, learn and appreciate, particularly since I've been on the council with Mayor Potter, is this comment I'll make actually reflects a conversation Tom and I just had last night. As he reminded me, philosophically, we don't have any differences. I mean, we view public education the same, we view civil rights the same, we view fighting for those that are disenfranchised the same. We fight for those in different ways, and that's not a bad thing. That's actually, I think, in spite of some of the more public disagreements Tom and I have had, I think that's a good thing. It's good for the city, and it's I think it helps me. And something that I think is really important for me is to acknowledge that I'm not the mayor. Tom Potter is the mayor. This is a centerpiece of what, and I probably listened to Tom Potter more than anybody else in the city when he ran for mayor, other than Karen and Jim Francesconi, because I was running at the same time and I listened to a lot of what Tom said and a lot of the debates. In fact, I could have answered for him or Jim many times if they hadn't shown up. The questions given. Well, they're not here, but here's what they'd say. But this is the centerpiece of what Tom ran on, and I respect that. I respect Tom as an individual, and I respect him as the mayor, and I honor his approach. And while it may be different from my approach, his approach is attempting to get to the same place I want to get to. And I respect that a lot. And I respect the time that I spent late this afternoon, talking amongst all of you downstairs. And I made a point to go down to make sure I listened, went to the tables, read what you had, talked to you personally. I also feel strongly that while, again, some of this may not have been how I would approach it, I think that some of you might have a better idea than I do in how to resolve some of the issues I've identified. And I'm more than willing not only to defer to your judgment, but to tell you that I will work with you to implement this plan, not just while Tom is mayor, but after Tom is mayor, because I do respect, ultimately, what it is all of us in this room, I think, ultimately agree with, and that is to have a great city, a fair city, a city that increasingly sets a model to the world, not just in sustainable issues, but we show that there's a great economic development reasons to do that as well. We create jobs, we create independence from foreign countries, and ultimately, I think where if we all strive towards those goals, and some of us, myself included, I think less about the methods and more about the ends, I think we're going to be a much better city for it. So really, after a lot of thought, looking at this document, listening to all of you, I'm really not only comfortable, but really very proud to be able to cast an aye vote. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank Mayor Potter for his leadership, his vision, and all of the vision committee, the executive committee, the DOG, the Data Analysis Work Group Committee, DOG, all of you for helping to rein in and bring to a concise document what started out as you know, a far-reaching effort. And it seemed daunting to me, but as Commissioner Leonard just said, you know, Mayor Potter has embraced this idea from the outset and has helped land it in a tangible document that we can then move forward on. I appreciate the short-term demonstration projects. I may not agree with every one of those, but I think they are concise and they are specific, and we will deal with those as we budget ahead and make those decisions. But I haven't seen a process since I've been in office that has been so inclusive of so many people who are typically not the usual suspects, and that is really to be lauded and commended. 15,000 people, people can smirk at that number, but that's a lot of people. And it took a lot of effort to get those people to fill out surveys. You know, I have to say I'm one of those people that always refuses to fill out surveys, you know, especially when you go to conferences and the first thing they say is fill out this evaluation form. You know, it takes a lot of effort just to get people to, you know, write down thoughts, especially open-ended type of questions. But you all did a good job, and the mayor has led this effort, and I'm pleased to support the goals, the visions, and the short-term objectives to give those due and fair consideration as we move ahead. So I'm pleased to vote aye.
Ben.
Well, Portland is a very, very special city, and I think I'm looking at the reason why. And I want to thank all of you. This is a long process. It was criticized for being too long, but it was too long because you were trying to do it right and to get through it. And I think this is a great document that we can put to a lot of use as a community. And you know, in some ways, the vision is predictable, but that's because we know what we want. But what this did was energize people, put some specifics to it, and It's an honor to work for people in Portland. I've been on the city council since 96, and I have not seen the chamber in multiple sessions filled with a crowd like the one that has come around this. And people will say often that the largest civic problem we face is apathy and people not wanting to get involved. And my observation is that's not the case. I think the biggest problem we have is we don't have great structures for people to do what's in their heart. So what I see when I go around the city is a lot more people who want to do more very specifically to help, but don't quite know how to do it. And it's not that they're not doing great stuff, volunteering in places, sending money, but they want to get to structural change. They want the society to be just a little bit different. And the avenue to do that is hard to find. And I think what you've been trying to do here, as I see it, is build a way for people to get truly involved at the core of what the city is about. And I think that's what this dialogue was about. That being said, the only thing that gave me any pause tonight was an occasional reference that it was our turn to implement it. It certainly is, and I'm certainly ready to work to implement it. But I think you've been through a long process, and if you don't view it as the beginning, you have failed. This is a beginning to try and now get the folks, the 15,000 people, the 1,000 activists, whatever it is who've taken part, to actually then find ways to get into these projects. We had our fourth Homeless Connect as a community yesterday, and we started it because we have a very good strategy working with getting chronically homeless people off the street, but we found a year into it, we didn't have any way to tap people who really wanted to help to truly help. So we set up an event designed to kind of break down the barriers. And I think that's our next that's our next thing we have to do with each of your areas is to figure out, okay, what does that mean on a month-to-month basis? And let's not let the perfect be the enemy of the better. Let's find some things and just get in and do it. I think that there's two strains that I see that are here. One is some pilot projects, some new ideas that you're pushing that I'm ready to help on. But I'd also, and I would say not but, there's an opportunity to take the energy and the connections and the inclusiveness and kind of the new energy that you found and attach it to some projects that are also out there in the greater community. And so had a meeting recently with a group that Vision pulled together, and I was grateful to say, here's some strategies that are going forward, some grants that the city is bringing forward to support schools. Who would like to take part in this? And I think we need to use your communication network, singing, I'm looking at Melinda, and other kinds of communication, to get to some of these other groups that were involved in this to say, okay, now here's three or four other things you could do as a follow-up to this. So I think it really is time to redouble our efforts and try and make something of this, and I'm excited to do that. I do want to end by thanking Mayor Potter. He ran a very different kind of campaign in 2004. People said it could not work, but in Portland it worked resoundingly. And then he came in and said, I'm going to do something different as mayor. And I think people were kind of surprised by that. They should not have been, as Commissioner Leonard said. Mayor Potter's been very clear that his goal is to get more people involved, to do it differently. And he is not leaving us for quite a while, so I'm going to call on him to help do the things we're talking about tonight in the next 15 months, since he doesn't have the distraction of a political campaign to worry about. But I think what he said is, I'm going to do things quite differently and set a stage that Portlanders can then act out what they want to have happen. And I think you've done that, Mayor, and I want to thank you as I vote aye.
Potter.
Well, I really appreciate the comments of the city commissioners, because within those comments is a commitment to carry this forward, and that pleases me. I have a lot of folks that I would like to thank, and after I vote, I would like to have someone come up who I think can do a much, much better job than I can of saying thank you. But this is a step on the road, and that we've got a long road ahead of us. But I think we've got a community who is willing to help and shoulder the burden with us and create an intentional community that will grow, that will be inclusive, and that years from now, they can tell their grandchildren, or in my case, great-great-grandchildren, about the part that they played in helping make Portland the community that it is then. So I will vote aye, which is probably a surprise to some people. And then I will ask Pedro Sosa to come up and say thank you the way he did at a meeting I was at and that I was so pleased to participate in. I vote aye. Pedro, please come forward. You have your son with you. And one of the things we try to do is someone could help Pedro with a microphone so that you could perhaps face the audience, Pedro, and perhaps just stand on this side of the desk.
Just come up here. Pull a seat right there.
I think he has with him one of the next city commissioners, too.
Scoot on up there.
Thank you very much. Muchas gracias. And he's my son. He's 4 years and always is with us in the Vision PDX meetings. And many of you already know him. And we wanted to thank you. I'm a little nervous. I wanted to thank you, all of you. Thank you for the mayor for bringing us together. And we wanted to share with you tonight a dynamic called the Reign of Applause. And I need your help. I'm sure many of you know this dynamic. It's to symbolize the process, how the idea start, and the process and development of Vision PDX, and how each one of you engaged in this process until today. But this is not the end. This is the beginning of a long way to walk. In 3 years, our children and our grandchildren will see the effort you've done. Please, can you help me with start a special applause? Thank you to the mayor, to the council, and each one of you. The rain starts with one finger. It's when Mr. Tom Potter, during his campaign, even before that, he thought about a vision in 3 years. Thinking how Portland will look like, how the community want to be, with two fingers. In 2005, he became a mayor, and his idea will come true. In the summer of 2005, he made the announcement and started to invite the community to join the effort. In November 2005, a group of 57 community leaders start meeting and organize six subcommittees and an executive committee to execute and coordinate the work. In April 6th, 29 organizations start the survey with four fingers. 15,000 people participate. You know, we are making more noisy. In October 2007, the data was analyzed and later a draft presented to the community to review. And today, here is the Vision PDX.
Wasn't that a nice sound at the end?
Very nice. The nicest this microphone sound in years.
I guess you didn't hear any argument up here.
No, so. I noticed that.
Without objection.
Well, thank you all very much. I know that some of you, it's getting late. The council has one more item of business to conduct. So if you wish to leave, please do so, and thank you for being here. So while these good folks are leaving, could you read item 1128?
Item 1128, authorize an intergovernmental agreement with Multnomah County to designate the Multnomah Youth Commission as an official youth advisory body to the City of Portland and Portland City Council.
Thank you. Do we have the, yes, we have Emily Ryan and Stacy Nav. Could you folks come up? This is this came out of a number of events, but primarily out of the fact that young people came together to create the Children and Youth Bill of Rights. And one of the things that they said they would like us to do is to become more involved with the Multnomah Youth Commission. And so tonight I'm asking the City Council to formalize provide me the authority to sign an intergovernmental agreement with Multnomah County. And we have a couple of folks. As you know, it's getting quite late, but if you would please make your presentation, and thank you for being patient. Thank you to all the young people for being here. And please go ahead and proceed.
Hi, my name is Stacy Navy. This is my fourth year on the Multnomah Youth Commission. The Multnomah Youth Commission was started 12 years ago. At that point, it was called the Youth Advisory Board. It was created with the intention of providing youth perspective on decisions and discussions that impact the lives of young people. The NYC has partnered with the City of Portland in the past. We held a youth forum on the River Renaissance policy, and the commission, the city, and Multnomah County co-sponsored the creation of the nation's first Youth Bill of Rights. Young people make up over 20% of the city's citizens, and our voices should be heard, especially in regards to decisions that directly affect us. The intergovernmental agreement we are proposing allows for that.
Thank you, Council. My name is Emily S. Ryan. I am a fourth-year board member on the Commission on Children, Families, and Community of Multnomah County, which is the parent organization of the Multnomah Youth Commission. The Youth Commission helped the CCFC by having youth engaged in county's six-year coordinated comprehensive plan. They have served on the CCFC board and worked to bring youth voices into community planning the CCFC engages in. And also, the Youth Commission has helped the CCFC by taking youth to Salem to advocate for children's issues. Further benefits to the county happen by developing the strong positive partnership with the City of Portland. The more we can work beyond borders to better serve citizens, the more accountable and efficient we are. On behalf of the CCFC and Multnomah County, we look forward to your adoption of this intergovernmental agreement. Commissioner Sten said earlier, people are eager to get involved in system change and making society better. The IGA is a document that will make this happen.
Thank you. Could E. Dominguez and Lisa Frank come? And I have to say, folks, these two folks work in our office, and if you want to meet two of the smartest people in the world, these two are it. Thank you, E, and thank you, Lisa, for being here.
Thank you.
And thank you, Tom Potter and the commissioners, for being here so late. I know it's really past when you guys are usually here, and, you know, we've all been here since 8:30, me too. I really appreciate your presence here and your willingness to listen to us. My name is E. Dominguez. I am a youth program aide for the Youth Planner Program, the second program of its kind in the nation. I work for the City of Portland in the mayor's office, hired by the Bureau of Planning with the charge of commitment and creating positive youth development, if that makes sense. Because it doesn't really make sense to me. The Youth Planner Program was created, one, because the City Council said that they wanted an inventory process done of all the city programs, services, recommendations, and, you know, what the city is currently doing for youth. That presentation is coming to Council next week, and we hope that you will listen to those comments also. The Youth Planner Program is also created to engage youth in city planning and the Portland Plan, and to support the NYC as staff by providing support and any kind of technical assistance that they need to do, for them to do their work. We were also created to support action teams that are created or made up of community members, youth, and city employees to make sure that the Bill of Rights is a living, breathing document and that things are happening from that. The agreement that IGA will help support the voice and inclusion of all youth in the city of Portland and county government.
My name is Lisa Frank, and I'm the other youth program aide working in the mayor's office for the Bureau of Planning. And when the Youth Bill of Rights was adopted, City Council committed to supporting and seeking the opinion of the Multnomah Youth Commission. This action addresses the first article of the Youth Bill of Rights, which is the right to voice. Youth voice is defined as youth having authentic influence into issues that affect their lives. The Multnomah Youth Commission is an ideal tool for increasing youth voice in the city of Portland. In the resolution adopting our Bill of Rights, Children and Youth, the city also agreed to further engage young people in government. The Multnomah Youth Commission is a great means to further engaging youth, which is why we now ask that council accept this IGA and adopt the Multnomah Youth Commission. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ian, Lisa, how old are you guys?
I'm 16.
I'm 19.
Pretty remarkable young folks. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Deborah Stein.
Good evening. I'm Deborah Stein with the Bureau of Planning. And in the spring of 2003, I was lucky enough to work directly with the Youth Commission on planning, designing, and organizing and carrying out an interactive workshop for River Renaissance. And I was just so impressed by the youth I got to know through that process. We were posing some really challenging policy issues, the same ones we were posing to adults in similar formats. And these guys were informed, they were energetic, they were creative, they were great problem solvers, they were inspiring in every kind of way, the kinds of informed citizenry we'd love to work with. And so I feel very excited as a long-range planner to be having more opportunities to be working with the Youth Commission on engaging youth in all of our planning efforts, our public policy efforts. I think that there's such an opportunity here. And, of course, we're planning for the future, of which these guys are the beneficiaries. So I think it's enormously exciting. We have big projects like the Portland Plan that we'll be tapping the Youth Commission, and little projects, too, some of the things I work on in the community. And I think there's just a great opportunity. And I look forward to working with the Youth Commission to learn good techniques so that we can be as inclusive and as creative as we can be to making sure we're tapping youth in the most productive way. So I look forward to this agreement coming through.
Thank you very much. Were there people who signed up?
No one signed up.
Thank you. You young folks are even smarter than I thought. But I really do appreciate what you've done to pull this together. And I know that you are so representative of our future leadership in this community. I value what you do for our community. And I know that the leadership of Elizabeth Kennedy Wong and Karen Hansen and all these good folks here that we can move our community forward, and we can do it in a way where we listen to and incorporate what our young people are telling us, because you are the ones, as indicated by Deborah, that you're going to inherit what we are starting. So thank you very much, and I appreciate that. And could you please call the vote?
Adams.
Well, it was a lot of fun and a great honor last week when we handed out the certificates of participation at the County Board of Commissioners chamber. It was great to see how many? Must have been over 100.
Yeah.
Over 100 individuals in the room. All youth, all very passionate, interested in being involved. It was great, and I'm glad that we're making official what has been a great informal agreement between the city and the county. And congratulate you, Mayor, and thank you for your efforts, and Karen and everyone else. Aye.
Leonard.
I'm happy to support your outstanding work. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I'm very happy to support this. I think this is another, just like we heard, just like we adopted the resolution on the vision plan, this is another legacy move. I think we've tried in the past to engage youth, and too often it's been, sort of, well, you come listen to what we have to tell you, and then you can react. I found out a long time ago they like to have more say about what they choose to have us come talk to them about. And, that's the subtlety that's not lost on me. But I think formalizing this relationship with the county putting and having a youth planner or youth planner aides, I think really does help to provide more constructive, formal input by youth in this county who will be living with our decisions and those who follow us for many, many years to come. And I hope you'll be part of those decision makers in years to come. Please to vote aye.
Sven.
It's exciting. It's important. I really look forward to hearing more from you. Aye.
Potter.
Thank you all.